Hello, and welcome to Days of Our Lives, Mint's audio history series on liberalization and the ordinary man. Here, you will hear stories of how life changed for most people, be it the sunshine boy or the CEO following the reforms of 1991, in their voices.
Last you heard Farooq, a toy maker from Chennapatna town, about the struggles of this industry that has been around since the days of Tipu Sultan. Today we bring you a very 21st century Indian success story, even though it began in the last year of the 20th century, an entrepreneur whose business has transformed how Indians travel.
If you're an entrepreneur in India, you need to have the mindset of a marathon runner. Yeah, there are many short sprints in the middle, but you need to have the mindset of a marathon runner. It's a long journey. It is not set up Instagram, 2 years, done, sell it off, not at all. I tell anyway, you shouldn't think about 2 years. Perhaps even 10 years is not enough. I know some companies are coming up. To build a great company, it takes longer.
Education and hard work, these are the two pillars on which generations of Indians have built their success stories. And Deep Kalra, founder of Make My Trip, one of India's largest travel portals, is no different. Today, he will take us through his journey that began with his coming of age a year after economic reforms were introduced and the innumerable ups and downs it has seen, with liberalization as its backdrop.
I think I'm a classic product of the middle class service background. My dad was in private service all his life. Those were the days when you started with one company and you retired with one company. So he did 30 years with one group. My mom was a teacher. You know, if you look back, I think the biggest privilege was to get really good education. I think that was important. St. Columbus in Delhi. I grew up in Delhi. I was born in Hyderabad, but actually grew up in Delhi. So St. Columbus, which was a top school then. The real facelift in Delhi was the Asia Wars, 84.
So you're the color, yeah. So you're the color TV also came.
Yeah, exactly. So Delhi changed. I think everyone got their, you know, first color TV, or everyone neighbor got their first color TV, and we saw sport. And also, if you look at the facelift of Delhi, the flyovers, the stadia, the hotels, everything came up there.
For most people born in the 60s and 70s, the current look of the capital, with its metro lines, flyovers and malls, is a byproduct of modern India, a facelift that was expected. The changes that they do remember, the ones that left their mark, were the ones that came during the city's preparations for the Asiad Games in 1982. This is when stadiums like Jawaharlal Nehru, Talcottora, etc. came up, not to mention flyovers, broadening of roads, as well as expansion of the DTC's bus fleet. In this city, rather country of limited opportunities but grand dreams, how did an ambitious young man like Kalra make his way up the ladder? Simple, by studying and by being very good at it. Degrees from certain institutes were not just a source of pride, but rather an insurance policy, says the St. Stephen's IIM Ahmedabad graduate.
I think securities in life play a big role. So if you have certain securities, which is the degree, so you get an IIM Ahmedabad degree or an IIM degree, it's obviously a very strong insurance policy is what I call it. Yeah. So I don't think that, so if you have that security in your mind, that what's the worst that can happen, then taking an entrepreneurial leap is easier.
Okay.
And I think I had that. So I'm a product of, I was out in the job market in 92. Yeah. So actually, I'd say a fantastic time. In fact, just the turning point. Because I have friends, and you might end up interviewing Sanjeev Bikchandani. So Bikchandani is batch of 89. He had worked before that. And at 89, he said there were hardly any jobs. I mean, there were not hardly any great paying jobs. In 92, I think a lot of stuff opened up. So we had all the banks come. This was the first year McKinsey came to any Indian campus to hire. They took two guys from our batch.
The gentleman Kalra refers to, Sanjeev Bikchandani, is the founder of Naukri.com, one of the first online ventures in India. Vinita Bali, the former MD of Britannia Industries Limited, also spoke about the less than stellar state of placements in even A-grade business schools in a pre-reforms India in an interview for Days of Our Lives. However, by the time Kalra's batch graduated, the scenario was a thing of the past. He, of course, began his corporate career by working for a bank.
Banks were definitely hiring. ABN was a fairly new bank, ABN AMRO. I did have a couple of other offers. All the MNCs were there for FMCG companies. So it was I can't say it was a seller's, a buyer's market. But if you were bright, you'd get a good job. For me, I guess liberalization was the fact that a lot of unlocking of potential is going to happen. License Raj is no longer there. License Raj is over. You can be a first-time entrepreneur, and you can, I wasn't thinking of entrepreneurship, but you could be a first-time entrepreneur and set up an interesting business. And it didn't mean, it meant the hegemony of old houses is gone forever.
It wasn't just the breaking down of old orders, but also the emergence of a new one. An order, in fact, hedged by first-generation company owners, a breed that Kalra is now himself a part of. He reels of names of success stories like Infosys, Airtel, Indigo, and also some that didn't quite make it. But through all the ups and downs of these companies and their trials, one thing was clear, as Kalra puts it, people were creating lasting companies without family wealth.
IT, ITES, IT first, telcos, and then ITES, these three probably really, really showed that professionals can set up large companies and great companies. For me, a turning point was Infosys.
Yeah.
If you look at it, four professors got together and did this. I think another turning point was Airtel and Sunil Mittal's story. Very humble origins, first generation. All these examples and many, many, many more. As against companies which people inherited a lot of wealth, yes, diversified. So you got to give it to Azim Premji, very successful diversification, but a lot of wealth. There was a family business, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think this first generation, and then if you look at today, you look at Indigo, I think it's a phenomenal story. You know, Rahul's father, Kapil, was a travel agent, and then obviously a very progressive travel agent, and was managed to take it to another level. So I think there's, so something what gets me very excited about the whole story of India is first generation.
Yeah, because you keep bringing that up. And
yeah, if you think about it, it is really hard.
Yeah.
In fact, I'd be honest to say it's probably the easiest in lines like ours.
So when did Kalra realize he wanted to be an entrepreneur? There was no flash of lightning hearing him tell it. He had toyed with the idea briefly at the start of his career when he had brought AMF Bowling to India, but that venture did not take off. His IIM degree, the security blanket, helped him get back into the fold with a job at GE. But the more time he spent in a corporate setup, the more he realized he was dissatisfied with his workings.
Yeah, so I think 99 was early days. In GE, I got a very interesting opportunity. It was called GE Countrywide. Now it's called GE Money. So these were auto loans, personal loans, home loans. And the new avenue was obviously the internet. And so it was fantastic. I had to actually study the internet for a living. And then I think my tipping point was that story about, you know, booking a holiday online and actually selling a second-hand car online.
Okay.
Automart India. And I realized there was like fantastic savings in both cases.
Kalra took a holiday to Phuket in 1999. The hotel bookings for which he did online.
The hotel was, there was a degree of trepidation because, you know, you don't want to show up in a foreign land without, like, with all kinds of issues. And my wife was expecting our first one, so to make it even more exciting. But I think...
what website was this?
So this was asiarooms.com.
Okay. Is it still around?
It got bought. Okay. Yeah, it got bought. And it's interesting. And there was, a small hotel called... Banyan Tree in Phuket, and we were getting quoted for the same place. I think it was $75 a night, and this was at $60 a night. It was six nights, so we're saving like literally $90, $100. So yeah, and it worked out. It was quite genuine. So that told me that clearly this medium can disintermediate a couple of middlemen, and that became my kind of tipping point to say we need to build a business around this. Can be done. And I think I just took the plunge then without thinking too much. I actually wrote out two detailed plans, not only for online travel, but also for online stockbroking.
Okay.
And I just found online stockbroking too boring.
Okay.
And online travel very exciting. So I followed my heart.
Entrepreneurship is risky. You can tick all the boxes, determination, hard work, and even beginner's luck, which in the case of Kalra was initial stage funding. But very often, things can and will go wrong.
So I had a very interesting, I got early stage funding.
Okay.
I got $2 million from eVentures, which was half Murdoch Star and half SoftBank. This was SoftBank in their first avatar here. And then within a year, they imploded because, you know, the dot-com thing busted, hit India. And they wanted their money back.
Yeah.
And they had promised an extra million if we hit targets. We were well ahead, everything else. And that was my first thing. Oh, my God, you can't take anything for granted. So I had to tell my people overnight that, guys, I'm really sorry, but, you know, we don't have a business. And I told everyone that, listen, it's tough. We don't have enough this thing, but we want to make a fight of it. Two of my guys were very keen. And whoever doesn't by Monday, let me know. You'll get, you know, whatever 2 months salary, but the rest are. And I wanted the salary wage bill to come down. I actually needed it to lighten. And we almost shrunk to half. So we shrunk from 42 people. We lost to 24, whatever. We lost 18 people. And that was fine. I said, no questions asked, no hard feelings, because senior guys have to take cuts. Junior guys, no cuts, but the future is uncertain. Raised funding only in 2005 again. So completely bootstrapped for those 4 years.
Kalra tells us how traveling aspirations for Indians, especially youngsters, have evolved. His holiday memories are of traveling by either road or by train to traditional destinations like Kashmir and Manali. He went abroad for his honeymoon, but admits to thinking twice about it, even with a well-paying job. Today, every second newly married couple goes abroad for their honeymoon, something which Kalra admits is great for business, but does have him slightly bemused.
Fundamentally, this generation or the millennials, so let's look at people around that time frame, frequency of holidays is up, shorter breaks, many breaks, multiple breaks, first big holiday, kids are getting married in office, they're going overseas for their honeymoon. It's a done thing.
Yeah.
In our time, it was like a big deal, and I was in a bank, I had loans, I had everything, and we thought 3-4 times before going to Malaysia for a holiday. I mean, we thought about Langkawi a lot. And here I see guys in our call center, boys and girls, and I said, listen, does every girl's father pay? I mean, like, what's going on? Well, it's great for our business. Again, people aren't saving. They're just saying, listen, bahar to jana hai. I think they're doing it more for the selfies and the pictures. But so it's a big change. When I grew up, we did a holiday. We did probably 2 holidays a year, but almost every holiday was a driving holiday.
Travel portals hold nearly 70% of the e-commerce market share, and MakeMyTrip.com is one of the market leaders in its major business segment, online booking of air travel, hotel and packages. It went public in 2010 with a listing in NASDAQ. The problems that Kalra faces now, threat from newer entrants in the market, etc., are more of that of an established business. Entrepreneurship is on the rise in India, with micro, small and medium enterprises contributing nearly 8% of the country's GDP. But a business owner is constantly solving for problems ranging from infrastructure to administration, something he does not need to do.
In India, to set up a company takes double or triple the time it takes for someone to do it in the Western world, particularly.
In spite of licensing Raj having gone?
Anything. You look at Silicon Valley and you look at India, it's 3x.
So what are the hurdles we're talking about?
I think our biggest hurdle around would be infra. Setting up an office out here. So what I'm trying to say, supposing I need a large floor plate like this. This is our, maybe our 6th office, you know, in the whole evolution from Okhla to this. Every time you got to set up, first 3 offices, first 4, I was heavily involved. There was no one else who would do it or who had the, you know, Ken to do it, Yen to do it. Like, no one else was interested. So you have to do it, but I should be spending my time doing something else. Second thing is, if I want a very large floor plate, IT, ITAS, I want to go far away because it's too expensive in town. Delhi's made sure you can't have large floor plates, which are legal in Delhi. We were victims of the ceiling. So, you know, crap like that.
Clearly, even as India has developed economic atmosphere that supports first-time business owners, the other fields haven't kept pace. It distracts the business owner from the actual task of setting up and running the business, says Kalra. It's an argument that even Ved Naithani, a paper consultant, had made earlier in Days of Our Lives, about how bureaucratic paperwork kept his energies engaged, which could have been used profitably towards work. He, of course, was talking about pre-reforms India.
I mean, one fine day, someone decides that half of Delhi's offices are illegal. Now, there's no fault of the tenant. You went, you did your... In fact, I had got a lawyer's report saying, just being more careful, that we are fine. We were in Ajini, very close to IIT. I think one fine day, they say, you're getting sealed. We say, but what we do wrong? I had to go, and I kid you not, for 2 weeks, I went every day to this guy's office, KJ Rao's, who was the commissioner. Finally, he met me, and he said, what's the why you here every day? I said, because you can't shut me down. I mean, you know, the reality is, it's on lease. We're running a company. We have customers in India. We have customers in the US. You'd shut us down. I mean, it's a shame. And, you know, the only thing which mattered, good or bad, I don't know, is once he heard you, I'm from IMA, he's 10RJ. So then he started looking at me. He says, okay, so how long do you need to leave? So I said, you have to give me 3 months, which is, you know, literally 2 months, 2 weeks to find, 2 weeks to finalize, and then to move, and I'll move. This guy came and sealed us down. It's an amazing story, 2 days after we left. What about power? Now, I'm in a business where I need real-time, all the time we're on, not just our internet, our call center services too. So you have to have multiple backups and everything can fail, I can tell you. The first 2 offices in Okhla, our toll-free lines, US-India, would get cut by rodents by rats in the telephone exchange, which was some godforsaken place near Okhla. Tehkhand, and I would go middle of the night to that linesman, because our business was at night, to wake him up and to say, come and fix it. And there was nothing would work except a bottle of rum. So this doesn't happen. So I'll compare it not with US, I'll compare it with China. I've gone, I've met companies out there, massive floor plates, ready to go, basic this thing, you can keep making it prettier. Metro line connectivity or rail right to the point. Here we solve for power, we solve for internet, backup services, we solve for transportation. But the point is, this is not the job of an entrepreneur. So you get distracted, and that is why we take time.
Kalra's story, as we've mentioned earlier, mirrors that of India's current growth cycle with coming of age in the early 90s. But even as the economic promises of reforms have come true to a great extent, infrastructure remains a concern. And after 25 years of growth, this is a little difficult to overlook. Interview conducted by Nikita Doval. This podcast has been produced by Anik Biswas.